Terry for Breakfast Catch-Up on Triple M.
My great pleasure to welcome Melissa Price, the Federal Member for Durack, and also the Assistant Minister to the Environment. Melissa, welcome to Triple M.
Good morning, Terry, and welcome to you, to the Wheatbelt. Good to have you on board.
Thank you very much. Lots happening around the Durack electorate. First of all, I want to start off talking about the small farm grants for a number of communities within the electorate.
Yeah, we're really happy with how we've gone with Durack. This is a new fund called the Smart Farms Small Grants, and we're very lucky in Durack, and in particular in the Wheatbelt, the Meriden and Districts Farm Improvement Group, they got around $89,000, and also the Yarra Yarra Catchment Management Group, that's a group that's based between Delhi and Killarney, they received a grant of $48,000, and the Morawa Farm Improvement Group received a grant of $24,000, and all of these groups will be focused on improving farm techniques and working across a whole range of different parts of the Wheatbelt. So, you know, that's good news for the Wheatbelt.
How has the season gone locally, given that, you know, there has been a pretty serious situation over east?
Yeah, well, you know, we have to say we've got all our fingers crossed at the moment because we're doing all right. You know, we've certainly had enough rain. Some people are starting to tell me they've had too much rain. And I was in Esperance yesterday and I think they were like the last to go. So they've all got a big smile on their face. But I think across the Wheatbelt, across the whole of Western Australia, you know, there's always going to be one or two patches that aren't feeling too pleased about the future. But by and large, I think everyone's had enough rain and everyone's feeling pretty positive. So, yeah, it's a good time, you know, as the lead up to the various field days. You know, we lead up to Darwin and to Mingenew, which are all coming up in the next month. And it's always a good time for a politician if the rain has come.
Yeah, drive carefully as you head around the region. Now, here in the Wheatbelt, we've got our own challenges, the possible closure of Mora Residential College, also the need for a new freight link through the region as well. So they're some of the things that are on the agenda.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Mora College, you know, it's so incredibly heart-wrenching. And for me as the local federal member, you know, you almost feel like your hands are tied because ultimately it's a state asset. You know, you can't hold the proverbial gun to the state's head and say, look, you need to do something here because ultimately it's owned by the state. So, you know, all we can do is continue to put pressure on the state government and, you know, hopefully they'll see, you know, good sense and not be bloody minded about it. I think they're holding out, but for no good reason, because there are people there that could help to actually, you know, put that particular college into good shape, you know, from a maintenance perspective. But, you know, the longer it goes on, the sooner that families are making decisions about what to do next year. So that's pretty disappointing. But, you know, on a more positive note, you mentioned the secondary freight route. It's something that I've been speaking with. There's an organisation across the whole of the Wheatbelt that have been dealing with that, trying to get them some money out of the federal government. So we're working through that. You know, a significant number of kilometres throughout the Wheatbelt, and for those who are in the farming game, and many are in the Wheatbelt, they'll know that, you know, improving the roads and connectivity and to be able to get the product around is, you know, really important. So, yeah, we're hoping the federal government will be able to help us with that.
Great to catch up with Barry Urquhart from Marketing Focus again. Barry, this week we want to talk about roller coaster real estate. And I see here in a message that you sent me, you said the 2017 Oxford Dictionary phrase of the year was fake news. And you're saying that this could be applied to real estate marketplaces throughout Australia at the moment.
Well, to a large extent, that's exactly the attitude of the consuming public. They don't know what to believe because they're getting conflicting news stories. Is it the green shoots of an upturn market? Is there going to be a further downturn? In fact, I went to one commentator who does a lot of research into the real estate sector, and I said, what is the marketplace like? And he said, well, there's no consistency in the information or trends. Therefore, the marketplace is poised to go either way. It could go down 10% or up 10%. And I thought, well, for consumers today to wanting to make informed decisions about investments, that is not going to satisfy them. Therefore, being an informed decision maker, they will sit there and not make the decision and feel as though there's no need to rush out and make that decision, which is not good for the economy, for wealth creation, and for the reassurance of the 58% of Australians who still own or aspire to own their own home.
Those that aspire to own their own home, where are we at with it at the moment? We hear a lot about people not being able to, you know, land the Australian dream, and it's out of reach for a lot of people because of the way income is at the moment. How is it in 2018?
Well, in 2018, it's a lot different to what it was in 1998, just 20 years earlier. At that time, 20 years ago, 74% of Australians own or aspired their own home. Today, it's down to about 58%, and many people would say it's going further south because there is a general expectation amongst the new people, that's the, you know, the first home buyers coming into the marketplace, saying there is a huge gap between what I can afford and what deposits I have. Therefore, this dream is either going to be a delayed dream, it's going to be a supported dream by my family, or it's going to be something that I will just put my mind aside and I will become a renter for life. So I think that for the innate nature of Australians, where property has been the foundation of their wealth, far more so than superannuation, it's a very big problem that we've got to go out there and re-educate people about what is wealth creation, where the role of real estate is, and start to educate the marketplace at large for them to make some value judgment.
And Barry, before we finish up, just a reminder, you're heading to the Wheatbelt. You're going to be doing a presentation in York in a few days' time. It's getting pretty exciting.
It is indeed. Very good responses, most particularly. We've got people coming in from Northern, from 2J, from metropolitan Perth coming along to the York Racecourse on Sunday morning, the 19th of August, co-sponsored by Munts and Partners, the accountancy practice, along with Triple M radio station. And I think that's very, very exciting. So people are getting in contact with the Community Resource Centre, registering, coming in from 9 till about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We're going to be addressing three specific issues of about what you can do to develop your business, get people to come to York, to stay longer, to enjoy it, come back, and more particularly, to sustain the viability of businesses across the board to a large extent, exactly what we've been talking about today, when we need to educate why it is that people should be putting York on their agenda as being a must-to destination rather than just saying, well, hold on, we're there in part of the Wheatbelt. That's the big challenge for Sunday, the 19th of August.
The Central Wheatbelt and Avon Valley Advocate is out for a Wednesday, and on the line is with us now from the Advocate, I've got Eliza Wynn. Eliza, you've got a roundup of the Avon descent.
Yes, we do, Terry. So we have a heap of photos and results from both the Avon descent and of the Avon River Festival and Parade. So a lot of photos and a lot of info about the Avon descent in this week's issue.
And a bit of history this year with the first stand-up paddler taking it to the Avon descent and completing the course.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like yourself, it was my first Avon descent this year, and it definitely didn't disappoint.
Yeah, great to see so many people out and about in the region over the weekend. Also, Eliza, in the paper today, Northern Police investigating a home robbery.
Yeah, so police have reached out to us to try and get some public information that could lead to the arrest of a man who slashed a resident's arm during an attempted home robbery last month. So on July 16th at 10 a.m. in the morning, a male in his 30s disturbed a man attempting to break into his house on Old York Road, and he was slashed in the arm area with what was believed to be a box cutter. Now, he unfortunately required medical attention, so police are just reaching out if there's anyone in the area at the time who may have some information.
And Eliza, finally, local environment groups are concerned about a proposal for a shed at Baker's Hill.
Yes, so we have a few local environmentalists who are concerned about a proposed new fire station that is going to be built in Baker's Hill. Now, at a council meeting in July, council voted to endorse the construction of the new fire shed on Yate Street near Great Eastern Highway. Now, these environmentalists have concerns as it's close to the Avon River and there could be runoff going into our main water source. And there are a fair few trees that will have to be cleared that are home to our natural habitat.
Plenty of local news doing the rounds. The Advocate out for a Wednesday. Eliza Wynn, thank you very much.
Thanks, Terry.
Trent is with us from techwrap.net. Trent, 3D printing is pretty popular out there and you can make some really good stuff with 3D printing, but a city man is allegedly facing possible jail time for something he did. What happened?
Yeah, well, this guy thought, you know, he's in the game of replicas and costume props and you know, dress ups in that form as well. You know, the guys who enjoy their gaming and movie adaptations. He thought he would basically use a 3D printer to reproduce a gun. You know, which is a bit questionable, and it's even more questionable when you allegedly go onto a Buy, Swap and Sell Facebook page and put an item up for sale there as well. I know there's enthusiasts out there that like that sort of thing, but of course, the average person is going to raise their eyes when they see something that looks pretty much like a gun on a social media site. He was arrested in 2017 and in court recently, allegedly, possibly facing jail time for creating replica guns. There's so many good things that you can produce with 3D printers that I guess make good on the world. Like there's organisations that create, replacement parts for people who have lost limbs, which actually function very well. People even make replacements for old equipment that, you know, you can no longer get parts for anymore. But guns, probably not a great thing to do, especially given the seriousness of the matter. And the amount of cases that have happened over in the US surrounding people sharing, you know, design plans for these things online.
And more tech news at the website at techwrap.net. Trent, thank you very much.
Great to chat.
Sounds of the Wheatbelt, Triple M.
Yeah, jackpot today, thanks to our friends at Middleton Accountants. You can see them in Meriden. Jackpot today is $500. What could you do with all that money? Could have a nice feed tonight, perhaps. 13 27 10, you need to tell us what this is and where you can find it. Let's go to the phones. Doreen is with us. Doreen, what do you reckon our sound of the wheat belt is?
I think you've been using the windscreen wipers in the 999 car at Meriden and just turned them off.
Using the windscreen wipers in the 999 car at Meriden and turning them off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's not it. I'm sorry.
Righto then. Thank you, Terry.
Thanks, Doreen.
Bye-bye.
Marty's on 13 27 10. Marty, where do you reckon our sound of the wheat belt is?
Putting the pump back on the Bowser at Shell in Northam.
Was that your answer?
Yes.
Unfortunately, Marty, that's not it.
Oh, well, no worries, mate. Have a good day.
Thanks, Marty. Let's go to Anne. Anne, what do you reckon our sound of the wheat belt is?
Is it putting fuel in the fuel tank and closing the petrol cap at Cunderdon Roadhouse?
Unfortunately, that's not it.
Oh, okay.
Thanks, Anne.
Thank you.
See you
Bye.
Then. And let's go to Cunnanoppen, and Greg is here with us. G'day, Greg.
Hello.
Hello. What do you reckon our sound of the wheat belt is?
Central locking in your car.
Central locking in the car, nice and quick. Unfortunately, that's not it, Greg.
Okay.
Good on you. Thank you.
All right.